Chapter 96. In which Mr. Pickwick thinks he had better go to Bath, and goes accordingly, but surely, my dear sir, apostrophe said little Perker, as he stood in Mr. Pickwick's apartment on the morning after the trial, surely you don't really mean really and seriously now, and irritation apart, that you won't pay these costs and damages? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not one halfpenny, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick firmly, not one halfpenny. Apostrophe, hoor for the principal, as the money lender said when he volled renew the bill, apostrophe observed Mr. Weller, who was clearing away the breakfast things. Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, have the goodness to step downstairs. Apostrophe, certainly, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller, and acting on Mr. Pickwick's gentle hint, Sam retired. No, Perker, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, with great seriousness of manner, my friends here have endeavored to dissuade me from this determination, but without avail. I shall employ myself as usual, until the opposite party have the power of issuing a legal process of execution against me, and if they are vile enough, to avail themselves of it, and to arrest my person, I shall yield myself up with perfect cheerfulness and content of heart. When can they do this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, they can issue execution, my dear sir, for the amount of the damages and tax costs, next term, apostrophe replied Perker, just 2 months hence, my dear sir. Apostrophe, very good, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Until that time, my dear fellow, let me hear no more of the matter. And now, apostrophe continued Mr. Pickwick, looking round on his friends with a good-humored smile, and a sparkle in the eye which no spectacles could dim or conceal, the only question is, where shall we go next? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Tupman and Mr. Snodgrass were too much affected by their friend's heroism to offer any reply. Mr. Winkle had not yet sufficiently recovered the recollection of his evidence at the trial to make any observation on any subject, so Mr. Pickwick paused in vain. Well, apostrophe said that gentleman, if you leave me to suggest our destination, I say Bath. I think none of us have ever been there. Apostrophe, nobody had. And as the proposition was warmly seconded by Perker, who considered it extremely probable that if Mr. Pickwick saw a little change and gaiety he would be inclined to think better of his determination, and worse of a debtor's prison, it was carried unanimously, and Sam was at once dispatched to the White Horse Cellar, to take 5 places by the 7:30 coach, next morning. There were just 2 places to be had inside, and just 3 to be had out, so Sam Weller booked for them all, and having exchanged a few compliments with the booking office clerk on the subject of a pewter half-crown which was tendered him as a portion of his change, apostrophe walked back to the George and Vulture, where he was pretty busily employed until bedtime in reducing clothes and linen into the smallest possible compass, and exerting his mechanical genius in constructing a variety of ingenious devices for keeping the lids on boxes which had neither locks nor hinges. The next was a very unpropitious morning for a journey, muggy, damp, and drizzly. The horses in the stages, that were going out, and had come through the city, were smoking so, that the outside passengers were invisible. The newspaper sellers looked moist, and smelled moldy, the wet ran off the hats of the orange vendors as they thrust their heads into the coach windows, and diluted the insides in a refreshing manner. The Jews with the 50-bladed penknives shut them up in despair, the men with the pocketbooks made pocketbooks of them. Watch guards and toasting forks were alike at a discount, and pencil cases and sponges were a drug in the market. Leaving Sam Weller to rescue the luggage from the 7 or 8 porters who flung themselves savagely upon it, the moment the coach stopped, and finding that they were about 20 minutes too early, Mr. Pickwick and his friends went for shelter into the traveler's room, the last resource of human dejection. The traveler's room at the White Horse Cellar is of course uncomfortable. It would be no traveler's room, if it were not. It is the right-hand parlor, into which an aspiring kitchen fireplace appears to have walked, accompanied by a rebellious poker, tongs, and shovel. It is divided into boxes, for the solitary confinement of travelers, and is furnished with a clock, a looking glass, and a live waiter, which latter article is kept in a small kennel for washing glasses, in a corner of the apartment. One of these boxes was occupied, on this particular occasion, by a stern-eyed man of about 45, who had a bald and glossy forehead, with a good deal of black hair at the sides and back of his head, and large black whiskers. He was buttoned up to the chin in a brown coat, and had a large sealskin traveling cap, and a greatcoat and cloak, lying on the seat beside him. He looked up from his breakfast as Mr. Pickwick entered, with a fierce and peremptory air, which was very dignified. And, having scrutinized that gentleman and his companions to his entire satisfaction, hummed a tune, in a manner which seemed to say, that he rather suspected somebody wanted to take advantage of him, but it wouldn't do. "Waiter," apostrophe said the gentleman with the whiskers. "Sir?" Apostrophe apostrophe replied a man with a dirty complexion, and a towel of the same, emerging from the kennel before mentioned. "Some more toast?" Apostrophe, "Yes, sir." Apostrophe, "Buttered toast, mind," apostrophe said the gentleman fiercely. "Directly, sir," apostrophe replied the waiter. The gentleman with the whiskers hummed a tune in the same manner as before, and pending the arrival of the toast, advanced to the front of the fire, and, taking his coattails under his arms, looked at his boots and ruminated. "I wonder whereabouts in Bath this coach puts up," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, mildly addressing Mr. Winkle. "What's that?" apostrophe apostrophe said the strange man. "I made an observation to my friend, sir," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, always ready to enter into conversation. "I wondered at what house the Bath coach put up. Perhaps you can inform me. Apostrophe, are you going to Bath?" Apostrophe apostrophe said the strange man. "I am, sir," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. "And those other gentlemen?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "They are going also," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. "Not inside, I'll be damned, if you're going inside," apostrophe said the strange man. "Not all of us," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. "No, not all of you," apostrophe said the strange man emphatically. "I've taken two places. If they try to squeeze six people into an infernal box that only holds four, I'll take a post chaise and bring an action. I've paid my fare. It won't do. I told the clerk, when I took my places, that it wouldn't do. I know these things have been done. I know they are done every day. But I never was done, and I never will be. Those who know me best know it. Crush me." Apostrophe apostrophe here the fierce gentleman rang the bell with great violence, and told the waiter he'd better bring the toast in 5 seconds, or he'd know the reason why. "My good sir," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, "you will allow me to observe that this is a very unnecessary display of excitement. I have only taken places inside for two." Apostrophe, "I am glad to hear it," apostrophe said the fierce man. "I withdraw my expressions. I tender an apology. There's my card. Give me your acquaintance." Apostrophe, "With great pleasure, sir," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. "We are to be fellow travelers, and I hope we shall find each other's society mutually agreeable." Apostrophe, "I hope we shall," apostrophe said the fierce gentleman. "I know we shall. I like your looks, they please me. Gentlemen, your hands and names. Know me." Apostrophe, "Of course," an interchange of friendly salutations followed this gracious speech, and the fierce gentleman immediately proceeded to inform the friends, in the same short, abrupt, jerking sentences, that his name was Dowler, that he was going to Bath on pleasure, that he was formerly in the army, that he had now set up in business as a gentleman, that he lived upon the profits, and that the individual for whom the second place was taken was a personage no less illustrious than Mrs. Dowler, his lady wife. She's a fine woman, apostrophe said Mr. Dowler. I am proud of her. I have reason. Apostrophe, I hope I shall have the pleasure of judging, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, with a smile. You shall, apostrophe replied Dowler. She shall know you. She shall esteem you. I courted her under singular circumstances. I won her through a rash vow. Thus, I saw her, I loved her, I proposed. She refused me. You love another? Spare my blushes. I know him. You do? Very good. If he remains here, I'll skin him. Apostrophe, Lord bless me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Pickwick involuntarily. Did you skin the gentleman, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Winkle, with a very pale face. I wrote him a note. I said it was a painful thing. And so it was. Apostrophe, certainly, apostrophe interposed Mr. Winkle. I said I had pledged my word as a gentleman to skin him. My character was at stake. I had no alternative. As an officer in His Majesty's service, I was bound to skin him. I regretted the necessity, but it must be done. He was open to conviction. He saw that the rules of the service were imperative. He fled. I married her. Here's the coach. That's her head. Apostrophe, as Mr. Dowler concluded, he pointed to a stage which had just driven up, from the open window of which a rather pretty face in a bright blue bonnet was looking among the crowd on the pavement, most probably for the rash man himself. Mr. Dowler paid his bill, and hurried out with his traveling cap, coat, and cloak, and Mr. Pickwick and his friends followed to secure their places. Mr. Tupman and Mr. Snodgrass had seated themselves at the back part of the coach. Mr. Winkle had got inside, and Mr. Pickwick was preparing to follow him, when Sam Weller came up to his master, and whispering in his ear, begged to speak to him, with an air of the deepest mystery. Well, Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, what's the matter now? Apostrophe, here's Rather a rum go, sir, apostrophe replied Sam. What? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. This here, sir, apostrophe rejoined Sam. I'm worry much afeard, sir, that the proprietor o' this here coach is a playing some imprudence with us. Apostrophe, how is that, Sam? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Aren't the names down on the way bill? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the names is not only down on the way bill, sir, apostrophe replied Sam, but they've painted one on them up, on the door o' the coach. Apostrophe as Sam spoke, he pointed to that part of the coach door on which the proprietor's name usually appears, and there, sure enough, in gilt letters of a goodly size, was the magic name of Pickwick. Dear me, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. Quite staggered by the coincidence. What a very extraordinary thing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, but that ain't all, apostrophe said Sam, again directing his master's attention to the coach door. Not content with writing up Pickwick, they puts Moses afore it, which I call add an insult to injury, as the parrot said when they not only took him from his native land, but made him talk the English language arterwards. Apostrophe, it's odd enough, certainly, Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, but if we stand talking here, we shall lose our places. Apostrophe, what, ain't nothing to be done in consequence, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed Sam, perfectly aghast at the coolness with which Mr. Pickwick prepared to ensconce himself inside. Done. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. What should be done? Apostrophe ain't nobody to be whopped for taking this here liberty, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, who had expected that at least he would have been commissioned to challenge the guard and the coachman to a pugilistic encounter on the spot. Certainly not, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick eagerly, not on any account. Jump up to your seat directly. Apostrophe, I am worry much afeard, apostrophe muttered Sam to himself, As he turned away, that something queer's come over the governor, or he'd never ha' stood this so quiet. I hope that ere trial hasn't broke his spirit, but it looks bad, worry bad. Apostrophe Mr. Weller shook his head gravely, and it is worthy of remark, as an illustration of the manner in which he took this circumstance to heart, that he did not speak another word until the coach reached the Kensington Turnpike, which was so long a time for him to remain taciturn, that the fact may be considered wholly unprecedented. Nothing worthy of special mention occurred during the journey. Mr. Dowler related a variety of anecdotes, all illustrative of his own personal prowess and desperation, and appealed to Mrs. Dowler in corroboration thereof, when Mrs. Dowler invariably brought in the form of an appendix, some remarkable fact or circumstance which Mr. Dowler had forgotten, or had perhaps through modesty, omitted. For the addenda in every instance went to show that Mr. Dowler was even a more wonderful fellow than he made himself out to be. Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Winkle listened with great admiration, and at intervals conversed with Mrs. Dowler, who was a very agreeable and fascinating person. So, what between Mr. Dowler's stories, and Mrs. Dowler's charms, and Mr. Pickwick's good humor, and Mr. Winkle's good listening, the insides contrived to be very companionable all the way. The outsides did as outsides always do. They were very cheerful and talkative at the beginning of every stage, and very dismal and sleepy in the middle, and very bright and wakeful again towards the end. There was one young gentleman in an India rubber cloak, who smoked cigars all day, and there was another young gentleman in a parody upon a greatcoat, who lighted a good many, and feeling obviously unsettled after the second whiff, threw them away when he thought nobody was looking at him. There was a third young man on the box who wished to be learned in cattle. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.